We're holding on Nun Bey's Ahmed Bey's four lines from the bottom. We left off. We mentioned a machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim, whether so now our Mishnah had said that Ein Acha Chalitza Klum. So our Mishnah had said Ein Acha Chalitza Klum, meaning once the Yavam did Chalitza with the Yavama, then nothing else that he does after that with her or with any of or with any of the other with any of her tzaddis or that any of his brothers do with her, none of that has any effect. Meaning, in other words, for example, if their relatives don't become also to him, etc. Then we said that that's only according to Rabbi Akiva, the Chachamim would say Yesh Acha Chalitza Klum, and we said in that connection. In that connection, we mentioned Machlokas Rebbe. We mentioned that Rebbe's opinion is that it depends in what. Let's say, for example, we're talking about Maimer after Chalitza. Then Rebbe says it depends what it depends. If it was Lashum Ishus or Lashum Yabus. If it was Lashum Ishus, then it is effective, and she's going to get. And if not, then she doesn't. So we're discussing why does Rebbe hold that there would be that distinction? Rabbi Akiva, we understand in Kiddushin Anat Tofes B'Chayvei Lavin, and there's an Issur Lav once he did Chalitza with her. There's an Issur Lav of him doing of him marrying her or any of her tzaris or of any of his brothers marrying her after the Chalitza. The Chachamim, we understand, they're saying they hold that Kiddushin are Tofes and Chayvei Lavin, so therefore it doesn't matter whether there's an Issur Lav. They may not be allowed to, but the Kiddushin are effective. But why is Rebbe saying that it depends what depends whether it was Lashum Ishus or Lashum Yabus? So first we had Rabbi Yosef saying that it's sort of like when you want to acquire the nechassim of a ger, where your intentions matter. If you didn't know that it was the nechassim of a ger, then your action of chazaka on it is ineffective. Nun beis amud beis, four lines from the bottom. So only if you knew. Abaya says the difference is though that if you don't know over there, then you don't have any intention for a kinyan at all. Here you're having an intention for a kinyan for issues of yabmus, as the case may be. So it's not really the same thing. So Abaya had said that we're talking about that. He says that he's scadshali the mimer yavam, be mekudesh to me. He says with the mimer of yavam. Well, so the Chachamim say that the Rebbe says the Maimer requires Zika. Zika is a prerequisite for Maimer Yevamin. The Zika is gone because it was removed by Chalitza. Therefore, there's nothing for the Maimer to be Chal on. Only if he said Iskadshali with regular Kiddushin, then fine, regular Kiddushin don't require Zika. Whereas the Chachamim say that doesn't matter. So now the Gemara continues. The Chachamim say that, that to begin with, if he had said to her, Hiskadshali b'mayim u'yavamin, back when they had a Zika, then it would work. So now also it works. They don't say that the mimer requires the Zika to exist as a prerequisite. So the Gemara says, Rava Omar, four lines from the bottom, E de'omalav b'mayim u'yavamin. No, Rava disagrees with Abaya. If he said, you be mekodesh to me b'mayim u'yavamin, kula amalei pligi de'mahanya, then nobody would disagree. Everybody would agree that it works. Because fine, even according to Rebbe, we would say that the Maimer does not require the Zika to exist right now. It just means, in effect, that he's saying, be Mekodesh to me with the Maimer that would have still, that would have, that, that, with the Maimer of the kind that would have existed before. Bahoch of Maya Skinnan, so rather the scenario is over here, he's going to Omolo Iskachli be Zikas Yevamin. He doesn't use the word Maimer Yevamin, he says Zikas Yevamin. Well, Rebbe Savar, Yesh Zika. So Rebbe holds that there does exist Zika, and then or there was Zika. Vasoi Chalitza afkata v'Zika. Chalitza went and removed that Zika, and therefore now there's nothing. Now you can't say hiskadshli b'zikas yavamin because what Zika? It doesn't exist anymore. By the time you say that, the Zika's gone. But Rabban and Savri ain't Zika Meikra. The Chum hold to begin with ain't Zika. We've learned throughout the Masechta of Machloek. We talked about all the way back in the second parak Machloek of Yesh Zika or ain't Zika. So the Chum hold over here, according to the opinion, that ein zika, and they say meikra ilu omoloi skadshli bezikas yevamin. To begin with, if he had said skadshli bezikas yevamin miloi mahani, wouldn't it be effective? They say ein zika, but Tosfos says fine. It means ein zika in the sense of, for example, we don't say the whole concept of a chos zikukasei. We don't say that a sister of his zikuka is also to him. Obviously, there exists a zika. When we say ein zika, we don't mean it doesn't exist at all. We just mean it doesn't have the power that the opinion that says yesh zika holds.
Or implications,
right. So therefore, the Chachamim say ein zika in the sense of asuring her sister to him, for example, but it exists as a mitzius, and therefore, if he had said it skadshli bezikas yivamin, mi loy mahani, wouldn't it be effective, even though as a matter of the implications of zika, those don't exist to begin with. So the hashnami mahani, so now it should also be effective, because to that extent, the zika that doesn't exist now, to that extent, didn't exist before either. Actually, the Rosh learns a little differently over here. He says that we don't mean the classic machlokas of yesh zika or ein zika that we talked about earlier in the Masechta. We just mean, in other words, are we talking about that was zika necessary? Sort of, in a way, then it comes out slightly like the previous answer. But in other words, did zika have to exist in the first place in order for this kedushin to actually work? Okay. Reb Shrevia says, here's another explanation of Rebbe's opinion. No, b'chalitza kshera, what it is like this. First of all, Reb Shrevia says, Rashi says as a background, if he says bezikas yevamin, everybody would agree that doesn't work because the zika was removed by chalitza. So rather, Reb Shrevia says, b'chalitza kshera, so that's it. If we're talking about that there was a chalitza kshera, meaning that the chalitza had not been preceded by anything that would weaken its force, no get for her or her tzara, no mimer for her tzara. So if that, ida amaloi skadshli bezikas yivamin, and if after a chalitza kshera, he says to her, skadshli bezikas yivamin, kola amaloi pligid b'lei mahani, then everybody would agree it doesn't work because there's no zikas yivamin anymore. The zika was completely removed by chalitza. Rather, the cases over here that we're talking about, that the chalitza itself was a chalitza psula. For example, he gave her a get, which already weakens the force of the zika and then makes it impossible to do yibum, and then he does the chalitza. So now, Rebbe holds that chalitza psula completely patters her. Therefore, there's nothing left for zikas yevamin to fall on. Or marasava chalitza psula in a preteres, whereas the chachamim say it doesn't completely patter her, and therefore there's still room for mimer to take effect. To the extent that we said that she's going to need a get in order to undo that mimer. Now, when we say proteras and ena proteras, some Rishonim talk about possibilities. Maybe we mean, ultimately she has to be mutter at some point to marry out. So, and if there's a chalitza psula, what can you do? So one explanation is, what we mean is a din that we've mentioned before, and we're going to mention further down over here, that chalitza psula tzricha lachzer al kol ha'achim. That's not enough for her to get chalitza from him. She's going to have to get chalitza from each of the brothers as well, and only after all of them have given her chalitza, then she's mutter to marry out. Rav Ashi gives another answer. So we're up to like the fifth answer so far. Dekula alma chalitza psula ene pekeres. No, both Rebbe and the Chachamim would agree that a chalitza psula does not patter her, in the sense, in other words, that now that would leave room for Mimer. So then why is Rebbe saying that if he does, that if he's mepatasho as a Yavama, then it doesn't work? So v'hocha b'yesh t'nai b'chalitza k'miflegi, the machlokas over here would be, is it possible for there to be a t'nai regarding chalitza? Meaning, so you can have a case, for example, where he gives her chalitza al manas that she's going to give him 200 zuz or some amount of money. Now, is such a t'nai effective? Marasava yesh t'nai b'chalitza or marasava ain't t'nai b'chalitza. Rebbe holds that there's no t'nai is ineffective by chalitza. Whether she ended up giving him the money or not, the chalitza still works. Therefore, So now the chalitza completely removed his zika, and now therefore when he says eskadshali b'maimu yavaman or zikas yavaman or whatever, then there's nothing for it to be chal on. The chachamim would say that no, as long as the tnai hasn't been fulfilled, then the chalitza is still pending. It's not completely effective yet. Therefore, when he says eskadshali b'maimu yavaman, then there's still room enough for it to be chal. So it comes out according to this explanation. Now, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about that we're going to bring other Tanoim who say that. So we're saying over here that it's Machlokes. Later on in the Masechta, when we get to the Perek of Mitzvah Chalitza, we're going to talk about in more detail. There are different opinions on that whether a Tanai is possible by Chalitza or not. So then another one, Ravina Omer de Kula Amma Yesh Tanai B'Chalitza. Ravina says as far as the previous one, by the way, when So Ravina gives the last answer. De Kula Amma Yesh Tanai B'Chalitza. Everybody would agree that there can be a Tanai in Chalitza. Now, Rashi says, we have later on opinions that say that ain't tnai b'chalitza, and where it's called chalitza mutas, if we mislead him into doing chalitza, then it's still valid. We can have the other way around, for example. We can have where he tells her, I'll do chalitza for you, but only if you pay me 200 zuz. There can also be a case we're going to talk about in that perek where Beistin misleads him. They want him to do chalitza, and they trick him by saying, if you do chalitza, then we'll arrange that she'll give you 200 zuz. And then he does the chalitza, and then they don't give him, then they don't arrange it. So such a thing is kosher, which means that there's no tnai possible by chalitza, which would be like what we're saying in Rav Ashi's answer. That's what Rebbe is saying. In Ravina's answer, we're saying no one holds that. So Rashi says, we don't mean no one holds that. We mean for purposes of what we're dealing with over here, the opinions we're dealing with over here, Rebbe and the Chachamim, neither of them, according to Ravina, would hold of that concept. We can have other Tanoim who are not discussed over here who do hold, and that ends up being the halacha that no Tanai is possible. Tosfos rather learns that it depends. When it comes to be matir her to marry outside, sure, ain't tnai b'chalitza, and it works. Then what we're discussing over here is strictly the question, does it make it possible for him to afterwards use his skadshali b'zikas yivomin and for that to work? So in other words, according to Tosfos, it's not that Ravina's answer over here is going to be not following the final halacha, and it's not going to be that we're saying like Rashi that there are other opinions, we're just not bringing them over here. We're saying the discussion over here, whether yes tnai b'chalitza or not, is not really the same point as is being made later about tnai b'chalitza or not. The point being made later is whether the chalitza is valid at all. Here the discussion is, it's definitely valid, but does it leave room for Mimer afterwards or not? So Ravina's answer is the Kulama Yeshnai Bachalitza, the Hocha Batnai Kofel Kamitli. The Machalikas over here is, do you have to have a Tnai Kofel? Now, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that the whole concept of a Tnai in Halacha, we learn from the story of Bnei Gad or Bnei Reuven, where they want the land in Eivra Yarden, and Moshe tells them that if you go and fight on behalf of the Jewish people and then lead them in the wars to conquer Eretz Yisrael proper, Eretz Canaan, then you'll have this. So afterwards, Moshe gathers together the Nisim and repeats this Tanai to them and tells them, if Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven go across and help conquer Eretz Canaan, then you should give them this land. And if they don't, then you should give them, then they'll have a portion with you in Eretz Canaan. So we learn a number of dinim about how a Tanai works from that story. And one of them is that we need Tanai Kofel. Whenever you're making a Tanai, you have to specify, you have to say, if such and such, then such and such, and if A, then B, and if not A, then not B. So that's called Tanai Kofel. So here the Machloka says, do we need a Tanai Kofel? So let's say he didn't say, so now a Tanai Kofel would be where he says, if you give me 200 zuz, then this chalitza will be valid, and if not, then it won't be valid. So now, do you need that or not? So Marasova be'in and Tanai Kofel, Marasova lo be'in and Tanai Kofel. Rebbe would say you do need a Tanai Kofel. So if he didn't, then it means that it would, there was no Tanai. So therefore, the Chalitza is valid regardless, and therefore there's no room for Zikas Yevamin anymore because it's gone. The Chachamim say you don't need Tanai Kofel, so therefore the Tanai is still pending until the 200 Zuz is given. Then, the, as Rashi says, the Chalitza is invalid, or as Tosfos is saying, maybe the Machlokes is not so much on that, but just the question, is there still room for, is there anything left over there for Maimu Yevamin to be Chalan, and therefore they say that it does. The Rambam, in fact, brings a Machlokes. Everybody agrees, he says, that you need Tanai Kofel when it comes to Kiddushin. So it's a machloikas. The Rambam mentions that some of the goyim hold you only need it by kedushin and gerushin, but not by other areas of halacha. The Rambam says no. B'nei God and B'nei Reuven themselves, they weren't dealing with kedushin or gerushin, and they had to have a tanai kofel. So therefore, the Rambam says it applies across the board. Every tanai, you always need it to be a tanai kofel. With the exception that Rambam says, if you say me'achshav or if you say almanas, then you don't need a tanai kofel because then it means that it's retroactive to now. Tosfos, by the way, mentions an interesting point over here, an interesting lomdish point, another point is, when do you say that a tanai is effective is only when you have something that could be accomplished through a shliach. And we're showing him give a reason for that, because the logical progression is once you have something where you have enough ownership of it to be able to delegate it to a shliach, then you also have enough ownership of it to be able to make a tanai over it. Now over here, on the face of it, over here, chalitza is not something you can do through a shliach. You can't send you the yavam himself has to, the yavam and the yavam themselves have to be in based in and do the chalitza. So that is why, that's one reason why Tosfos says that, again, the machlokas over here, we're not talking about whether the chalitza is effective. The question is only whether without a tanai kofel, or as Rav Ashi said, without a tanai, with a tanai in the first place, whether there's any room for maimu yevamin to still be chal. Rebbe holds that no, and the chacham holds that yes. But the chalitza itself would be kosher regardless, because the chalitza itself, you can't really have a tanai on it precisely because you can't do it through a shliach. The Mishnah had said, Cholatz va'asa maimer v'nosan getu va'avavola. So the Mishnah had said that if he did chalitza and then maimer, or if he did or if he gave a get and then had relations with her, then we said, the Mishnah had said, ein acha chalitza klum. That nothing after chalitza is effective, and therefore the maimer is ineffective. We said before, that's only according to Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachamim would say it is, and Rebbe, as we just said, would distinguish between what kind, according to the six answers, why sometimes it's effective and sometimes it's not. So the Gemara asks, v'nisni nami einach habiyah klum, why doesn't the Mishnah say einach habiyah, why doesn't it only say einach chalitza klum, why doesn't it say einach habiyah klum? Meaning, in other words, that once there was the bia, then anything else that happens, that happens after that, for example, if he gave a get to her tzara, then nothing happens. So the answer is Abaya v'Rava, Damu Tabayu, Tony, and Achabia Kum. So Abaya and Rava both say you're right. The Mishnah should say that after bia, there's also nothing else that can be affected. So in other words, they say it doesn't have to say bia and chalitza. You don't want to have to make it too wordy. You want to use derech katzara. So you could say acha bia klum or ein acha bia klum or ein acha chalitza klum. But the Mishnah, so they're saying you have to fix up the wording of the Mishnah and say ein acha bia klum, and we would understand automatically that also ein acha chalitza klum. So the Gemara says the Tana didan. Well, why does the Tana of our Mishnah not mention Bia? So Abaya and Rava are saying that's what it should say, but why didn't the Tana do that? Because Atarat Yivam Lashuk Adifale, he would rather talk about what needs to be done in order to make her mutter to marry out. Which is, in other words, once there's Chalitza, then we're saying that she's allowed to marry anybody else, and he considers that more chaviv. The Rashash says maybe he holds like Abba Shol, who holds that chalitza is preferable to Yibum, and therefore he'd rather teach that. Once he does that, he doesn't want to also mention Bia, because that would be too wordy. Tosfos Yishanim says, one second, if Abaya and Rava are saying that this is what the Mishnah means to say, then what is the Gemara asking? Why did Artana do differently? They're saying that Artana did do it that way. So therefore, Tosfos Yishanim brings a different girsa, that what the Gemara is saying is that Tony, we have a different brisa that says ein achabia kol. There's a brisa. In fact, it's in Tosefta on Or Masechta that says differently than Or Mishnah ein achabia kol. Instead of Or Mishnah, it said ein achachalitza kol. And so the Gemara is asking why did the Tana of Or Mishnah choose to say ein achachalitza kol? So in other words, we have Mishnah versus a brisa rather than Abaya and Rava's version of the Mishnah versus our version of the Mishnah. We said echad yivama achas echad shtei yivamas. All of these rules that we said so far apply whether it's one yivama, and two yivamim, or the other way around, two yivamas and one yivam. The Gemara says masnisim d'loy ke ben azay. Our Mishnah is obviously not like ben azay. The Tanya we learned in a brisa before. We had on nun aleph amud beis a list of tanoim who hold that Maimer Kona Kinyan Gomer, and one of them was Ben Azai. And we said, we brought a Bryce over there, Detanya, Ben Azai Omer, Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer, B'Shnei Yevomin, B'Yevom Achas. He says, one Maimer is effective after another Maimer when you have two Yevomim and one Yevomah, V'in Maimer Acha Maimer, B'Shnei Yevomis, V'Yevom Echad, but not when it's two Yevomis from the who were married to the same brother, and now you have one Yevom who did a Maimer to one and Maimer to the other. Rashi mentioned over there before two different Gersois that existed in the manuscripts of Gemara that he had, and he mentions over here, you see that the one that he preferred before must be the correct one, because otherwise the discussion of Ben Azai would belong later down on the Amud, because we're going through the Mishnah piece by piece. So there, yeah. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, Kate said, Maimer Lazur Chola. So we said that we had the scenario where he gave mimer to one and then mimer to one and mimer to the other. So we said that each of them needs a get and one of them needs chalitza. And then we had the various cases, among others, where he did mimer for one and get for the other. So we said if he did mimer for one and he did a get for the other one. The one that he did maimer needs a get and also chalitza. Tzricha get for chalitza. So the Gemara says, Lema Messiah Leila Shmuel. Does that mean that our Mishnah supports Shmuel, the Amma Shmuel, which Shmuel had said earlier in our Masechta, Cholas Chavalas Maimer Leinifter Tzarasa, that if you do chalitza to the one to whom you did the maimer, then her tzara is not potter. So we're not talking about the case of maimer lazu but get lazu rather. We're talking about maimer lazu but cholatz lazu. So now he's saying he gave maimer to one of the yavamis and now he did chalitza to the other one. So Shmuel is saying, because that's the way you have to do it. If you do chalitza to the one you did the maimer, then you haven't yet pottered her tzara, because for the maimer alone you need a get. And therefore, it's not a chalitza ma'ula anymore. So therefore, it doesn't remove the zika for the tzara. And therefore, you need to do chalitza with the one to whom you didn't do maimer to. So our Mishnah seems to be saying that. And in that case, it would contradict Rabbi Yosef, who said before that he brought before what Rebbe had said, that a person should not pour out water from his pit when other people need it. And the same way over here, you shouldn't unnecessarily passel a woman who would be kosher the kohona. Now, what are we saying over here? The first one needs a get. The second one, we're still going to say he's going to have to do chalitza. So both of them are going to be passel the kohona. So, and yet our Mishnah is implying that he needs to do it that way against Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says no, because mikatani cholitz. The Mishnah is not saying he has to do chalitza with the second one. Cholatz katani dieved. It says that if he did chalitza for one of them, then maimer lazu v'cholatz lazu. He's not saying cholatz lazu that he should do chalitza with the other. It's saying if he did maimer with one rochel, and then he did chalitza with the other one layer, then he were the dinim. It's not saying what he should do l'chatchila. So it doesn't prove Shmuel, and it doesn't disprove, Rabbi Yosef. Okay. Next, we said get lazu v'get lazu v'chola. We had a case where he gave a get to one and a get to the other. So we said tzrichas heimenu chalitza. So they need chalitza from him. So the fact that it says tzrichos, the Gemara says lema mesayle l'rava barav huna, does that mean that our Mishnah supports Rava barav huna's din? Do amar Rava barav huna chalitza psula tzricha l'chazer akola achin? When you have a chalitza psula, as it is in this case, because it was preceded by a get and the get made it impossible to do yibum, then you need to go around, you need to do chalitza, but with each one of the brothers. So our Mishnah seems to be implying that. So the Gemara says not necessarily, because my tzrichas da alma. The word tzrichas over here doesn't mean particularly the women in the case of our Mishnah. It just means in general. The word tzrichas means any woman who ever finds herself in such a situation, having been given a get, needs chalitza as well. We said get lazu v'cholot lazu. We said if he gave a get to one and he did chalitza to the other one, so then we said einach chalitza kum. So again, the Gemara says leimim masayle l'shmuel. Again, can we say that our Mishnah supports Shmuel, who said that you have to do chalitza with the one who did not receive the get because her zikah is stronger? Or tiyuvta did Rabbi Yosef, and again, it would be a contradiction on Rabbi Yosef, who says you shouldn't do that because you shouldn't unnecessarily passel her. Better, Rabbi Yosef is saying you should do chalitza with the one who already received a get and is already anyway passel the kohana. And the Gemara says again, not necessarily, because mikatoni cholitz, because again, the Mishnah is not saying that he has to do chalitza cholatz katoni diavad. Again, like before, it uses the word cholatz, which means it's only b'diavad, and therefore, so we're talking about where he already did it. Not that it's only b'diavad. We're talking about where he already did it, and therefore, it's not a question of what he should do. We're describing what happens if he did it this way. We said cholatz b'cholatz or cholatz b'cholatz. We said if he did chalitza to one and chalitza to the other, or chalitza to one and a get to the other, or chalitza to one and maimer to the other, we said, then einach chalitza klum, then there's nothing after chalitza. So again, the question is, v'lisni nami einach bia klum. We also, the Mishnah also mentioned cases where he did bia with one and bia with the other, or bia with one and bia and maimer with the other. So we said, einach chalitza klum. So the question is, like before, like with the previous part of the Mishnah, why didn't it say einach bia klum? So Abaye and Rava, Damer Tabaye, Tony, Einach Habia Klum. Again, Abaye and Rava both say what the Mishnah should say is Einach Habia Klum. They're changing the wording of the Mishnah. The Tani Didan, where the Tana of our Mishnah, who didn't have that change, he says, HaTorah Yivam Shuka Difalei, like before, we're saying that he would prefer to explain what he would prefer to focus on the case where we're being matter her to marry out. And we have the same thing that Torah's Pesachonim says before, that we don't mean that Abaye and Rava are changing the wording of the Mishnah. We mean that they're quoting a Braisa that has a different wording. And then the Gemara is explaining, why does the Tana of our Mishnah choose a different wording than the Braisa? And again, like Rashi says before, he doesn't want to mention both of them, both Einach Abia Klum and Einach Acholitza Klum, because that would be too wordy. Next. Bein Yavam Echad, Bein L'shtei Yavam Eschula. We said that all of this applies, whether it's one Yavam and two Yavamas, or two Yavamim and one Yavamah. So let's figure that out, the Gemara says. Now, we learned in the first parak, we learned on Daf Yod, a machloikas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, after Chalitza was done, if any of the other brothers, so if the brother who did Chalitza marries her afterwards, everybody agrees that he's only Oivan Aloysase. Because he has the isser of lo yivne, kivin shleibana shuv lo yivne. He didn't build her up by doing chalitza, so therefore now he's also to marry her. But it's only an isser lot. The question was, what about the other brothers? The other brothers, Rish Lakish had said, if they marry her, then they're chayiv kares. Rabbi Yochanan said they're also only oivran alav. So the Gemara says v'shleimel Rabbi Yochanan. So it works out well according to Rabbi Yochanan. The am a kula base of alav koi. He says that the entire household, all of the tzoros, so and the same thing applies, in other words, that not just to the brothers, it also applies, in other words, to all the women. Rabbi Yochanan would say the same thing. If he had many wives, if the dead brother had many wives and he did chalitza with one of them, all the other ones are also to him only by an isser lav. So he would say itzrich. So therefore, our Mishnah needs to tell us that you have the same rules in our Mishnah. So the Mishnah would be telling us, like Rabbi Akiva, that even though there's only an isser lav, kedushin aren't tofes, and therefore we'd be saying that after chalitza, then nothing else, then no mimer can be effective after chalitza because the chalitza brings in an isser lav for all of them. But according to Rish Lakish, who says that all the other wives in that household, there's an issur kores on marrying them after the chalitza. So why does the Mishnah even need to mention this point? Itzrich lashmin and then kedushin tofsin b'chayvet krisis. Does the Mishnah need to tell us that kedushin aren't tofes by chayvet krisis? We know that already. That's pretty obvious. It's one thing, Tosfos says, if the Mishnah is telling us in Kiddushin Tovsin L'chayvei Lavin, fine, we already had before at the end of the previous Perek that we were told that Rabbi Akiva holds that, Fine, but we're saying that the, once we're mentioning then the various scenarios of our Mishnah, then we mention that also together with it. Especially because Tosfos says, after all, it's not so poshut. You could say that Rabbi Akiva says Kedushin or Tosfos with Chayvei Lavin, and he just says that nevertheless it can still produce a mamzer. And therefore we're saying that not, those two things are interdependent. But why would the Mishnah have to stress any point, according to the Shlokish, that says that when Chalitza was done, and now there's an Issur Kores on all the wives, so now if he does Maimer with any of them, it's ineffective. Of course, it's Chayvei Krisis at that point, according to the Shlokish. So the answer is Omalach Rishlokish. The answer is Rishlokish will answer you. V'litai mech, nu, and according to your own Svara that you're asking the question, Sefer de Katoni Baal v'Asa Maimer, then what about, you can ask in the last part of the Mishnah, when it continues, it says if he had relations with one of them and he did mimer with another one, and it says the mimer is ineffective, same thing. It's the chlashim in and then kedushin tofsin ve'eshes it. Or there we're talking about where the mimer was with her herself. So rather we're talking about where Shimon, the first brother, did be'ila with her, and then Levi did mimer with her. Obviously, it's the chlashim in and then kedushin tofsin ve'eshes ish. Would the Mishnah need to be telling us that kedushin are not effective by an eshes ish? Of course not. So obviously, Ella, I did the Tana HaTorah Yavam Echad B'Yavam Achas. Obviously, the answer must be that once the Mishnah had to tell us what the din is when there's one Yavam and one Yavama, where Rish Lakish, even according to Rish Lakish, we need to be told that the Mimer is not effective after the Chalitza because there's a lav over there. And again, we're saying our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, who says Ein Kedushin Tovsin B'Chayvei Lavin. So once we needed that, Tananami Shtei Yavamas V'Yavam Echad, then therefore it also continues with talking about two Yavamas and one Yavam. But I did Tanah Shtei Yavamas V'Yavam Echad, Tananami Shtei Yavam and V'Yavam Achas, and then it continues to also talk about the case of two Yavamas and one Yavama, even though you're, so in other words, Rish Lakish would say the first part of the Mishnah is definitely necessary when it's one Yavam and one Yavama to tell us, even though there's only an Issur Lav, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Akiva, Kedushin aren't Tosfos, because as Tosfos has said, that's not such a poshut thing that the Mishnah can leave it unsaid. Then, therefore, the Mishnah continues with the second case involving two Yavamas and one Yavam, where there's less of a Chiddush about, where according to the Shlokish, there's less of a Chiddush, because there's an Issur Kares on the second one, and of course, Kedushin aren't Tosfos. And therefore, it also mentions the case of two Yavamim and one Yavama, even though that's even more obvious because she's already an Eishes Ish at that point, and obviously the second Yavam Mimer on her is going to have no effect. So according to him, you have one case in the Mishnah that's needed to teach us the Chiddush, and then the other two come with it incidentally. Okay. The Gemara continues. Cholatz va'asam mayim of a nasan fuller. The Mishnah had said that we're going back to the case of one yavam and one yavama, where we said if he did chalitza and then maimer, or chalitza and then a get. So then, so then we said so einach chalitza fuller. So the Gemara asks, why do we need to say that? V'shleima cholatz va'asam maimer. I understand why we need to be told that if he did chalitza and then maimer itzrich, we need to be told that. Because you would think that we should make a gzera that if he did mimer after chalitza, maybe we should say it should have a certain effect because we might confuse it with mimer before chalitza, where mimer before chalitza, of course, is effective. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that. Therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that we're not gozer. So we would have thought, in other words, even Rabbi Akiva, we were saying our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva, and we would say Kedushin are not Tofes for Chayvei Lavin, but given that even Rabbi Akiva holds that Maimer before Chalitza is effective and requires a get, maybe he would say that we should make a Gzeira Dirabanan, that Maimer over here after Chalitza should also require a get, even though it wasn't really Tofes, just so people don't get them confused. Kamash Malon Delay Gazrin, and the Mishnah would therefore be telling us that according to Rabbi Akiva, we have no reason to make the Gzeira. Ela Cholatz Benosan Get Lomali. But why does the Mishnah need to tell us the case of Cholatz v'nos and get? Isn't it fairly obvious that when it's one Yavam and one Yavama, what do we think that get would be accomplishing? As it is, for example, she's already also to a Kayan, her relatives are already also to him. So what is there for a get to accomplish anyway at this point? So the Gemara answers back, so according to your svara that you're even asking the question, Ema Sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah, Bov Osam Maimer, Bov Anasam Get, where it says that if he did Bia with her and then he did a Maimer, or he did Bia and then gave a Get, then we're saying that after Bia there's nothing else. So B'Shlema Bov Anasam Get Itzrich, I understand why it would need to say that in the case of Bov Anasam Get, that we would say that we need to be told that Einach Abiyakum, because again, Sakradach Nivza get the boss of the Ila, also ought to get the Kamad the Ila, because again, you would think we know that if he gives you a get before the Ila, then that get is effective, and an Asa is her relatives to him, and she's still going to need Chalitza. So you would think that, and we learned at the beginning of the Perek why, because we said that people are going to think that a get is enough instead of chalitza, so therefore we require, and we said that actually Daraisa, she still needs chalitza. We said that the reason why we said a get is effective over there is because a get is effective by a regular woman, and people are going to confuse get and chalitza and think that after chalitza you can still do yibum. So we know that, so then again we would think that maybe even a get after Be'ila should have the same effect, and it should still require chalitza, and kamash malon delay gazrinon, and the Mishnah therefore is telling us that we're not gozer. The Rashba, by the way, has a different understanding of this. He says, we're not talking about the question of whether she need chalitza or not. Everybody's going to know that after Bia, we know that after Bia, you don't need chalitza anymore. Rather, he says, the point is, the Mishnah would be telling us that, now we know if he gave her a get before Be'ila, then we're saying it's also for him to do yibum with her. Now you would think, what happens? He did yibum with her. Now he decides to give her a get in the usual way, because after all, now they're husband and wife. So now he gives her a get. Now we would think, without the Mishnah telling us, maybe he should be also to remarry her after that. After all, we learned earlier in the Masechta, to begin with, she was also to him as an Eshesach. She became mutter in yibum. Maybe there should be a certain vestige of that issur left, or at least we should make a gzeira d'rabbanon, such that if he gives her a get, he shouldn't be allowed to remarry her. The issue of Eishes Och should resurface, and we're saying that not. So we understand why the Mishnah needs to tell us the case of get acha be'ila, and say ein acha be'ila klum, meaning, in other words, this get will be like any other get between a husband and wife, and still allow, the Rashba is saying, and still allow them to remarry. Or according to Rashi, we're saying again that it shouldn't require chalitza as well. But why would the Mishnah have to tell us the case where he did Be'ila and then he did Maimer? Obviously, he doesn't need, obviously, there's no Maimer. She's already his wife. Obviously, the answer is, I did a ton of Cholat to Osam Maimer, since it already said Cholat to Osam Maimer, which there we needed the Chiddush to tell us that according to Rebbe Akiva, Kiddushin are not Tofus, because it's Chayve Lavin. Tonanami Bov Osamimer. So to keep parallelism, we also mention the case of Bov Osamimer, even though there's no Chiddush in it at all, because obviously once she's his wife, then there's no need for Mimer anymore. And obviously nobody else can do Mimer with her either, because she's already Ashes ish. But I did a boil a misty, Bov, and nothing get. Tonanami Cholots, but nothing get. So then it also mentions Cholots, but nothing get, even though there's slightly more of a Chiddush in it. No, we're saying there really isn't. So we're saying that once there was chalitza, we know einach chalitza klum, and therefore we're saying that, even though there was no real need to mention it, well, we mention it anyway in order to cover all the cases. Marsha comments on this though. He says that when the Gemara is asking over here v'litai meich, that's not usually. Usually v'litai meich would be when you're dealing with a machloikas, for example, and one manda omer wants to bring the Mishnah as a proof for his opinion, and then the other one says, no, how can you bring a proof? V'litai meich, according to your own svara, we could learn the Mishnah itself differently, or we could point out the question differently or something. Here we don't really have that. And also, Marsha says, why are we bringing this in over here? This Cholot for Osam Maimer is going back to an earlier part of the Mishnah. We should have discussed it previously as we were going through each clause of the Mishnah. We should have mentioned it over there. So rather, Marsha says, this is not a new discussion. This is a continuation of the previous discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, where the Gemara was saying that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we understand why each case of the Mishnah is a Chiddush, but according to the Shlokish, why do we need? We know that Kiddushin are not Tofus, but Chayvei Krisis. So now the Gemara is continuing, according to the Shlokish, proving that you have cases in the Mishnah that are there without a Chiddush at all. He's saying, V'litai meich, even according to you, Rabbi Yochanan, there are clearly cases in the Mishnah that are not necessary to say, and are there only in order to cover all the cases. So therefore, according to me, it's the same thing. We said in the Mishnah, Bizman Shehi V'chula. So we said that. So we said at the end of the Mishnah that Be'ila. We said that Be'ila when it's at the beginning, then Ein Acharei Akum. But when it's in the middle or the end, then Yesh Acharei Akum. Meaning, if he did Be'ila and it wasn't preceded by anything that would passel it, the only thing, there was nothing before it, or there was Maimer before it to her, which is the proper way, then we said Ein Acharei Akum. But we said if it was a Be'ila Psula or Be'ila Pchosa or whatever the word for it is exactly, then we said Yesh Acharei Akum. Then there is room for something else, for a get or a Maimer after it to be effective. So chalitza might still be necessary. So for example, if let's say he gave a mimer to one of the women and then did be'ila with the other one, then that's a be'ila p'chusa, and therefore we're saying that it's not fully effective. There's still room for another mimer or another get after it to be chal. And the same way, for example, if it was basoif, if he did, for example, mimer with one and a get to the other, and then be'ila at the end, same thing. And then we said Reb Nechemiah disagrees and says either way, be'ila makes it ein acharefum. So the Gemara says, masnissin deloiki haitana. Now, our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. The Tanya, Abba Yossi ben Yochanan, Ishir Shalayim Omer, Mishum Rameir. You have, by the way, you have the Zugas. We have this week's Pirkei Avos, Yossi ben Yochanan, Ishir Shalayim. This one apparently is a namesake of his many generations later, because he's saying in the name of Rameir. But anyway, so he says, Achas Be'ila v'achas Chalitza, whether we're talking about Be'ila, unless we mean that there could have been an earlier Rameir, I don't know. Anyway. So achas be'ila v'achas chalitza, whether we're talking about be'ila or chalitza, v'tchila ein acharei akum, v'emtza v'seif yesh acharei akum. Oh, so that's what it is. The Mishnah had said, chalitza, it doesn't matter whether it's v'tchila, v'emtza v'seif, then ein acharei akum. But when it comes to bia, then we said there's a difference whether it's at the beginning or the middle or the end. Now Abba Yossi ben Yochanan is saying that both Be'ila and Chalitza, only if it was Betchila, not preceded by anything that would weaken the force of it, only then do we say that Ein Acharei Akum, but if the Chalitza was preceded by something that weakens it, Maimer for her, or Maimer to another one of the women, or maybe not Maimer to one of the other women, Maimer to her, or Get to her, or to one of the other women, then the Chalitza is a Chalitza Pchusa, and then we're saying that there could be something else after it, that a Maimer or Get that's after it has an effect. So therefore, the Gemara says, "V'shalosh machlokes v'davar." So what we really have over here is a three-way machlokes. Tanakama sava bia de'ikal migza gazvin. The Tanakama hold only when it comes to bia, where we have a reason to be gozer. That we said at the beginning of the perek, the reason why we say, or why b'chlal did we say that? Why do we say that get is affected by yivama? Why do we say that maimer is effective? And why do we say that? Why do we say that bia psula yesh acharei akum? So we said because if it's after a get, then we're concerned that people might confuse it with bia acha chalitza, which would be an issue lav. And if it's bia acha maimer, then people might confuse it with bia acha bia, which is also an issue lav, or according to the shlokish, even an issue karis. So by bia, we have reason to make such xeris. As opposed to by chalitza, we said there's no problem with it, because there's no problem with doing chalitza again and again. And because chalitza after maimer, you would anyway need a get for the maimer. So therefore, if you have chalitza acha bia, you'd also need a get for the bia. So therefore, there's no reason to make a gzeira by chalitza, we say. So the Tanakama of our Mishnah holds bia de ikal migzer, only by bia, where we have reasons to make gzeiras, to prevent people from being over on isu daraisa, gazrinan. So then we do that and we say that when it's a bia psula, then there's still room for other things to take effect after it. Chalitza delakal migza loy gazrinan, but by chalitza, there's nothing to be gozer on anyway. There's no possible issur daraisa that can be caused by doing chalitza after the other things. Therefore, loy gazrinan, so we don't make it there. Reb Nechemiah Sovar, Bia Nami Lekal Migzer. Reb Nechemiah holds that there's no reason to make the gzera by Bia either. He holds that we don't need those gzeras. So therefore, so you don't need to make a gzera. Udeka Amit, because he says, you're saying at the beginning of the perek, Ligza bia achar get, bishum bia achar chalitza, you're saying we need to make a gzera that bia after get is going to be considered bia pchusa, and therefore that you're going to need that after it, you still may need other things. You still may need a get, or you may need chalitza. You're not going to say that because you might confuse it with bia achar chalitza. No need, says Rav Nechemiah. Kiven de chalitza daraisa, chalitza is daraisa, get is only the rabbanon. Maybe yadi, people will well know the difference between chalitza and get, and there's no possibility that people are going to think that if you're allowed to do bia achar get, then you're allowed to do bia achar chalitza, because people are going to know that chalitza already is daraisa, and then and bia after it is also. And he says the same thing. You should make a gzera that bia acha maimer is considered bia pchusa because you might confuse it with bia acha bia, which would be an issur daraisa. No, given to bia daraisa again, because bia is effective daraisa or maybe yadi. So people are going to know good and well that there's a difference. So he says that the gzeras that we talked about at the beginning of the parak, there's no need for them. Therefore, he says that both after bia and after chalitza doesn't matter whether it was a bia kshera or a bia psula or whether it was a chalitza mu'ula or a chalitza p'chusa, doesn't matter either way ein acharei akum. So that's from Nechem. Abba Yosi ben Chonon sova l'karabonon. Now Abba Yosi ben Chonon holds like the Chachamim the gazri bia, where they say you need to do a gzera by bia, and unlike the Chachamim though, who says there's no reason to make a gzera by chalitza because chalitza there's no possibility of an isur daraisa, he says v'goza chalitza mishum bia. He extends that gzera also to chalitza, even though there's less of a reason for it by chalitza, because he says once you're being gozer it by bia, then you need to extend it to chalitza as well. So he's saying that the gzera applied. So in short, Abba Yosi ben Chanan says that we need the gzera across the board. So whether bia or chalitza, if it was psula, then yesh acharei akum. Reb Nechemiah is taking the opposite view. There's no gzera needed at all. So both bia and chalitza, there's always ein acharei akum. And the Chachamim say bia yes, chalitza no, because by bia, if you have a bia psula, there could be problems where people are going to think that you're allowed to do bia acha chalitza or bia acha bia. But by chalitza, there's no need for that. People will think that you're allowed to do bia acha bia, or people are going to think that you're allowed to do bia after chalitza, and in either case, you're being over on an isur daraisa.
Bia after bia,
meaning in other words, we did bia with one woman, and then bia with the other one.
Bia after chalitza is also another, or the same one?
It would be the same one. The bia after chalitza could be with the same one. Hadron alach rabban gamliel. Okay. Now, so we've been talking all this time about bia of a yavama, but let's get into the details about what kind of bia is necessary, what kind of bia is actually accomplishing this to accomplish yavama. So the Mishnah says, "Habo'al yavim, the yavam has relations with his yavama, bein b'shoigig bein b'mezid, whether it was b'shoigig or b'mezid." So Rashi explains, b'shoigig would mean that he thinks that it's his wife, that a wife that he already has, or some other woman, he doesn't realize that it's his yavama. B'mezid would be where he's doing it, l'shem znus, that he's doing it having in mind that it's just going to be for znus, not for the mitzvah. Or bein b'onus bein b'rosin, whether we're going to see what she has to think in a minute.
Oh.
Yeah. Bein ba'onus bein b'rotzen, whether it was ba'onus or b'rotzen. Now we're going to discuss in the Gemara how he could be ba'onus. We're going to talk about in the Gemara in kishri el ladas. So on the face of it, there's no possibility of onus with him. We'll get back to that. So whether ba'onus or b'rotzen. Tosfos mentions, by the way, that what you can have is within onus itself, let's say the ma'anus him, as the Gemara is going to discuss, you can have within that, or the ma'anus her, as the case may be, we'll see, you can still have within that it can be b'shoigig or b'mezid, that they're forcing him to do something, or they're forcing her to do something. Within that itself, he can be thinking, you know what, fine, I'll go ahead and do it. This is my wife anyway. Or he can be thinking, I know this isn't my wife, but I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. L'shem znus, and then it turns out that it says yavama. So in other words, shogeg and mezid would be could possibly be within berotzen as well as within ba'onus, says Tosfos. Anyway, afilu hu shogeg v'hi mezidah, or you could have a case where he's shogeg and she's mezid. He thinks she's his wife. She knows that she's his yavama, obviously, and she knows that. But she doesn't have in mind to do it for the sake of the mitzvah. She's having in mind to do it as znus. Or he made it b'hushegeges, so vice versa. He's doing it l'shem znus, and she doesn't know. She doesn't realize that this is her yavam. Who onus v'hilay anusa? Or if he's forced, as we're going to see in the Gemara, how that's possible, and she's not. Or he anusa v'hulay onus. So he or she's forced, and he's not. So in all those cases, so in all those cases, it's still effective. Tosfos discusses that now. Why didn't the Mishnah could have also said if both of them are no sin? So one answer in Tosfos is that it means that it means in other words that again that neither of them is having in mind for the sake of the mitzvah. When we say v'hila yanusa, we mean that she's doing it that she's mazed or shoyged. So therefore, in other words, so he's onus and she is mazed or shoyged. So again, nobody is having in mind anything for the mitzvah. Nevertheless, it's still effective. Echad ma'ara ve'echad ha'goymer, whether he just does hara, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara in a couple, of days, what the definition of hara is. It's the beginning stage of bia, but we're going to discuss what it is exactly. So whether he did that ve'echad ha'goymer, or whether he does the complete bia. Kona, either way, he acquires the Yavama, and he's also, Rashi also adds, he's Zoycha and his brother's Nachla, and she's completely his wife in the sense that if now they want to get divorced, then he gives her a get rather than Chalit. The Torah is not distinguishing between one Bia and another, which means, Rashi says two things. It means that there's no difference between Kedarka and Shaloi Kedarka, and also there's no difference between Hara and Gemar Bia. Either way, it has the same effect. Tosfos apparently had a different Girsa in Rashi because Tosfos says that Rashi had explained that it means not between Hara and Gemar Bia. Only later on does Rashi explain Kedarka and Shaloi Kedarka. So Tosfos says that no. To begin with, the Mishnah is saying that it means kedarka or shalai kedarka. It mentioned amara and agomer, and therefore it also mentions that echad that loy chilik ben bia labia, meaning there's no difference between kedarka and shalai kedarka. Next, continues the Mishnah, v'chein ha'bal achas mikol ha'arayas shav Torah. Now the same rules as far as what's the definition of bia applies to all other arayas in the Torah. Oh, yeah. For example, in other words, when it comes to, so with any erva, there's no difference between hara and gemar bia, and there's no difference between kedarka and shaloi kedarka. Either way, they're chayv chatas b'shoigeg or kores and or misas based in memezu. And the same thing applies to the psulis, to the ones that are koyin, or Yisrael is not allowed to marry with an isulav. If you're going to almona the koyin gadol, for example, a koyin gadol marries and has relations with an almona. Grusha v'chalutz of a koyin hedyet, or a regular koyin marries a divorced and has relations with a divorced woman or a chalutza. So the same thing, as soon as they do hara, whether kedarka or shaloi kedarka, then already it passels her to eat. It already passels her to eat truma, and it passels her to marry a koyin in the future, and so forth. And they're over on the Isser and are going to get malchus. Mamzeras and a sin of Israel, whether a mamzeras or a sin of marrying Israel, bas Israel a mamzer or a nosin, or born Jewish woman marrying a mamzer or a nosin, psola in all those cases they're passing them because it's a bia that's also. A nesina is a descendant of a nosin, or a nesina is a descendant of the Givonim. You have the story in Sefer Yoshua where the people of Givon, the Knanim of the city in the area of Givon, trick the Jewish people into thinking that they came from some faraway country and they want to make a peace treaty with them. And then when it turned out that they were that it was a lie and they lived there in Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people were all ready to break the Shavua and kill them because lo yisachayach on the Shama. They realized that no, it's going to create a chilul Hashem. Goyim are not going to realize that, and they're going to think that Jews are careless with their Shavuos. So therefore, so Yeshua called them together and said, "We're going to allow you to stay alive, but you have to be choit ve'etzim v'shoy ve'mayim. You have to be wood choppers and water drawers for the Mishkan." The machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether they're also to intermarry into the Jewish people daraisa, or whether only drabanan, is it maybe only for a certain period of time, or is it that Yeshua made a gzera only as long as the Bismikdash is standing, and David several generations later made it forever. Whatever the case, the point is that it's also that it's also an isulav for a nosin or a nesina to marry a born Jew. They're allowed to marry a mamzeres. They're allowed to marry a mamzer or mamzeres. They're allowed to marry another nosin or nesina, and they're allowed to marry a gay. Anyway, Everyone's allowed to marry a ger, yeah. Anyway, so in all those cases, so the general rule is we're gonna learn in Kiddushin. We're gonna learn in Kiddushin when we eventually get to it. That's the Hashem, a year and a half from now or so. The general rule is that we go according to the posel. That's avlad ho'lechachar posel. So, for example, a mamzer marries a ger because the mamzer is more posel, then therefore the children have the status of mamzer. Yeah. So, no, the only where the Mishnah mentions over there a way in which a mamzer can be metahar his children. The Gemara brings over there, and the Rabbi Yehuda says that a mamzer can marry a shifcha and then free her, and then the children are considered avodim b'shachrorim. And the Gemara, the Mishnah over there brings another opinion, and that doesn't work, but yeah. Anyway, the point is, no, if a mamzer marries a ger, then the children are considered mamzerim. The same way, if a nosim marries a ger, the children read nosim, and so forth. Okay. Yeah, even a mamzer of the 10th generation. Anyway. So in our Mishnah, we're saying that again, psala, as soon as the Yisrael has relations with the mamzer sunasina, or the mamzer has relations with the bat Yisrael, and the same thing with the koyin and the grusha and so forth, as soon as that happens, psala, then he passels her to ever marry a koyin, because now she's considered a zoina, and also that if she was a bas koyin, then he makes her a halala, and she's never going to be able to go back to eating truma from her father's house, even if her husband dies and leaves her childless. And again, for like chilek ben bia labia, mamzeres and asina obviously is anyway possible kahuna. But what Rashi says, it means, in other words, that in this case that they get malchus, because once hara was done, whether kadauka or shalai kadauka, that's already enough to trigger malchus. And there's no difference between one bia and another, meaning between kedauka and shaloi kedauka. Either way, how raw is already enough to accomplish that. We may have mamzerim mixed up among us, but there is a concept in halacha which I think we touched on before in our masechta, and in any case talks about it in kedushin, called mishpacha shenitma or nitma. Once it's been mixed in, and nobody knows that they're mamzerim anymore, then they're mixed in, and even Eliyahu Hanavi is not going to undo that.
Well, and the story with
Rabbi Yehuda, they announced over their families that were known by the chachamim still to be mamzerim or other psalim.
Yeah, and he said, I'll do more.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had the power to
do it,
but he didn't do it. So now they're all kind of
like kosher. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with a piece of the Gemara. The Gemara says, my afilu. What is it when the Mishnah says, afilu who shoved the behemazida, or who made it behe shegegas, etc. So what do we mean by that afilu? So the Gemara says, loy mi boya karma. The Mishnah is telling us one of these kinds of things of needless to say. Needless to say, when, for example, he's shogeg, where he thinks that it's a different woman, and she has in mind for the mitzvah, she knows this is her yavam, and she intends to be acquired with yavam. Inami who mazed the hikamachavna mitzvah, or the same thing where he's mazed, he thinks that he's doing it as nus, and she knows she's doing it for the mitzvah. So, needless to say, that works. Even if he's doing it b'shogeg and she's b'mezid, he doesn't even know that it's his yavama. She thinks that she's doing it for znus, or hagoy sabach, as the other way around as well. The tavayu loy kamachavni l'shem mitzvah, where neither one of them has in mind for the mitzvah. Afilo hochikana, nevertheless he has accomplished the mitzvah of yavam, and therefore he's koina her as his wife, and he's koina his dead brother's property, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara says, "Toni Rabchia, afilu shneim shogegim, shneim mezidim, shneim anusim." And the same thing would apply, even if both of them were b'shogeg, or both of them were mezid, or both of them were onus. That's what we're saying. So even if neither of them knew that this is yibum, each of them thought that it's somebody else. Nevertheless, it still works. So the Gemara asks, "Onus demas nisin hechidon." Yeah. What is the scenario of the onus of our Mishnah? Anusa, when she's onus, we understand that. But what's the scenario where he would be onus? Are we talking about that Goyim forced him to have relations with her? Well, that's not considered onus in halacha. Rava says when it comes to arayas, there's no such thing as onus for a man. Because kishui, for him to become erect, requires das. So therefore, so even if the goyim forced him, nevertheless, he had the das to allow that kishui to happen or not. In many places in Chassidus, by the way, it talks about the deeper idea behind it. that tishui is very much connected with the man's das. Thus, we say a ben nimshach mimayach ab. The child comes from the father's brain because, in other words, there's a direct connection between das va'adam yoda eschava ishtay and tishui and the production of zera and the production of children. So if he was forced into it, then that's not considered oinus. El biyoshin. So are we talking about that he was sleeping and he had an erection while he was asleep? By the way, Tosfos rather says that when we say over here on su over kachavim, what we mean is, in other words, that we don't mean, for example, they threatened him, if you don't do this, we're going to kill you, because then obviously then that's not even a question of any tishri el ladas. What we mean is, in other words, even that they actually physically pushed them together, and nevertheless we're saying that ain't tishri el ladas. So Ella Biyoshin. So are we talking about when he's sleeping and he had a kishui while he was asleep? So what? Actually, Rabbi Yehuda says that when he's asleep, he's not koina his yavama. Rashi says because he's not a bar das, and therefore he can't have any das to do the kinyan. Tosfos says, one second, a cotton doesn't have das either, and it's still and still we need a posit to tell us it doesn't work. So rather, Tosfos says he didn't have kavana for bia at all. When he's asleep, he can't have kavana. Ela benitka. So are we talking about where he fell off a roof and fell onto her? Also doesn't work. Rabba says that, in fact, if a man with a kishui falls off the roof and then ends up stuck into a woman down below, if he injures her in doing that, then he's chayev in four out of the five things, nezek, tzar, ripui, and sheves. He's not chayev in boshes because he didn't intend, because boshes requires intent, and here there was no intent. But the other one we say, odamur la'olam. And if the woman down there was his yavama, then he's not koina because he had no intention for bia. So what is the case of onus? So rather, the example would be where he had in mind to have relations with his wife, and he has a kishui for that. And then his yavama grabbed a hold of him while he was already in that state with a kishui ladas, and had relations with him. We're there. He intended for bia, but not with her. Nevertheless, it's still considered. Therefore, it's considered oinus in the sense that he had no intention. He already had the kishri ladas, but nevertheless, he had no intention of having relations with her. And nevertheless, we're saying it still works because we're saying regardless, he had intention for bia. And shnei manusim and shnei manusim. So devei rabchia hechidami. When rabchia says that you have a case of both of them is onus, what does that mean? Same idea. You mentioned iskaven leishtoy. Again, he intended to have relations with his wife and had a kishui for that. Or to go for over to kachavim v'divkum zebazeh. Goyim grabbed a hold of him and pressed him against his yavama uvaaleha, and he had relations with her. So that would be the case of shnei manusim, and we're saying that even then he's also koina because he did have an intention for bia. So the basic idea being, as long as he has intention for bia, then it doesn't matter. Then it doesn't matter whether he intended her or somebody else, or even if they forced him from one to the other. Nevertheless, it still works. But if he was asleep, then we said no, because as Rashi said, he had no das, and as Tosfos said, he had no kavana for bia. And if he fell off the roof, then also he had no intention for bia at all, and therefore that doesn't work either. Okay, so we'll continue Be'ezat Hashem tomorrow with discussing how we know these dinim of the Mishnah. How do we know all these dinim, that whether it's b'shogeg, b'onus, b'mezid, etc., that it works, and how we know that then how we know that harah and gemar bia are both effective in halacha, and so forth.